weeks are always strange weeks, but it's been an interesting new year, just because I am recognizing that I have not paid good attention to what the Lord is doing.
Been there.
And
there's been there.
Well,
yeah, I'm still hanging out there, I think.
We're all there, and yet we're all in different places there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all there. But we're all there in the unique, the way God wants you to be there. There's a verse that talks about, you know, we look in the mirror and when we walk away, forget we saw.
Yep.
Said.
Said James.
I was looking at that verse and thinking about it, just sitting there. And some things happened the last couple of weeks that just kind of made me understand that a little bit different. There are some things I noticed about me that I had not noticed. You know, I have arthritis in my hands. My dad had arthritis in his hands. And I noticed that this is getting a calcium deposit in the hurts. And sometimes things pop. And that stings, like interesting pains. And then I realized that there's a soreness on this hand, but I haven't noticed it. And then I paid attention to it, and I said, this knuckle's getting bigger. And things that happen to me, it's like I don't see it on a regular basis, but sometimes I'll sit down and suddenly it just all of a sudden all comes out. And I think we look in the mirror, we don't pay attention to what God's trying to show us. And suddenly you sit down and you get overwhelmed by all these changes. Mm. You know, I look at wrinkles that don't bother me, but I don't notice them sometimes. And then suddenly I notice them. Mm. And getting older is not bad, but I don't notice the changes. And then sometimes those changes happen faster. You know, I go out and work in my garden and I have fun. I come in and I have scrapes and cuts that I didn't even feel happening to me. You know, there's a sensitivity that I'm losing. When you get old, you start losing things, but you also gain things. And I'm noticing that I have a sensitivity to spiritual things that when I see them first, they don't seem to be spiritual.
I know exactly what you mean by that.
And then suddenly this feeling whooshes in me. And it's like, I start thinking, oh, this must be what it was like when the Spirit came on people in the Old Testament. It's like, I'll watch a movie and it has nothing to do with spiritual things, but I'll see a scene and it goes, and I see the Spirit there. And tears come in my eyes. And I have emotions that are just kind of, there's nothing there, except I see something there. And I'm starting to see those kind of things more. There's a movie I really like, Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where she's looking at the big board that they work on. And she says, and they're trying to figure out a formula.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, it comes to them that it's old, but it works. And she says, math, you can always trust math. And Kevin Kaufman says, for you. He caught her comment of, math is reliable, it works. And he says, for you. And then the Lord says, the reason that people don't get it when you talk about Jesus is that I work for you. Mm-hmm. They don't see it because they aren't connected to it like you are. We're connected and it works for us. We speak and it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to the person out there, but it makes sense here. I don't have to have all the proof. I don't have to be able to explain it, but it works. And I saw that in that movie, and there's things that I'm starting to see differently. Even this week is like, I get overwhelmed with what God pours on me. He says, now I want you to find what I want you to have. So wait a minute. You can't just do that to me. Well, he does. And, you know, like 3 weeks ago, I had all the verses. I said, oh, this is going to be good. God is being nice
to me
this time.
But you did it.
And then this week, I'm looking at YouTube, and I'm trying to finalize some ideas to see if there's something that works for me. And suddenly, there's a song that comes up. So I scribble it down. And then I scroll, and there's another song. And there's several songs, all Christian songs. All songs that I like. Some of them I even own. And suddenly there's one after the other. And so I write all these songs down. There's like 8 songs. And I said, how am I going to use those here, Lord? He says, well, you're not going to use all of them. Figure it out. So he's making me wrestle with issues. And even this morning I was wrestling, what song do I want to use in this to kind of introduce everything? And I had a song that I picked, and I changed it. And then I have a song at the end. I thought, but do I want to use it? Or do I want to just read you some lines from it? So I left it in, and I have this, and I still don't know. But I like it. And I sometimes get overwhelmed by that. I really like something. But is my liking it enough value to use it? If you like something, is there enough value in that liking it for God to let you use it? Or is he letting you like it, but he doesn't want you to use what you like? He wants you to use something else. Something more stupid. Or something more smart. I mean, one of my devotion books for this year is the Duck Commander devotional. Duck Commander. How many people take the Duck Commander seriously? Because they had a show, and they had funny things, and they did weird things, and they have beards.
What's wrong with beards?
Nothing. I had a beard for 11 years.
Okay, there you go.
I still have a beard. I shave it every day.
And I didn't shave it.
I don't.
I just had it, and I did it because of a dare. A kid in my youth group said, Mr. Garcia, I can grow a beard faster than you. And I just went, I just laughed.
That's a terrible bet.
I won the bet. And my lovely wife let me keep the beard for 11 years. And I had it, and it was, I had it well trimmed. And
I still have one grow out with you too. I never used it.
But so I like unusual things. And sometimes I get carried away with what I like. I start getting caught up in studying words. And so a lot of my notes here I may not use because I got into the Greek and I got into the Hebrew. And I said, it's so cool, but do we need to know it? Just because the knowledge exists, do you need to know it? So, we're going to go. And I'm going to...
Did we get our good morning yet?
Good morning.
There we go.
There it is. Okay. Good morning. And with that good morning, one of the things that Scott and me has launched on this thing, which is that they did a part of the Duck Commander series. Within it, they did a little thing on the 23rd Psalm. And made me think about things that we let get in our way, because that's what he talked about, you know. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 1, it says, how many of us really want to be like sheep? They smell. We think they're not too smart, but they're not. They're really very smart. They're one of the smartest of the animals, especially if you get into a barnyard. It says, cows and sheep, they're pretty smart critters. They just don't get credit for their smarts. We just dump the foolishness that happens on them and say, they're foolishness. But we could do that to us. Maybe that's why he calls us sheep. We claim our foolishness, we don't claim our smarts, our intelligence. So he said, one of his quotes in the assessor is, we should embrace our inner sheep. Because they're smart. As I do my gardening, I may spend a lot of time on my intro, maybe not even get to the lesson. I don't care.
It's good.
I'm in charge. I'm doing this. But when I like gardening, because that's the farmer in me. That's my dad in me. He's a farmer. And I play with the bees and I play with the wasps. They don't bother me. Because he says, if you don't bother them, they aren't going to bother you. You can wave your arms and as long as you're not doing anything to bother them, they don't care. It's us who care. And we worry about stuff. So I thought they were, but they're very intelligent. The wasps, there's something about them that's just like sheep. Did you know that? When a sheep sees you, it will remember you by appearance. Mm. Their eyes and their brains are connected in a way that they can remember who you are. They can remember your voice because shepherds in the Middle East, at least, name their sheep and they can call their sheep out, which is why the Lord says, my sheep know my voice. I know there's a knowledge, I can call them out. They'll know who I am. They know. They recognize. They can connect the voice with the face. Wasps remember your face. My wasps can remember my face if they're the same ones wasps. They'll remember it for 2 days. They can have up to 48 hours. If it's the queen wasp, she can remember it for a week. So when I'm playing with my wasps, sometimes I think they actually remember who I am because they can remember who they see. They're smarter than we think. We don't give them credit. God created them. He didn't just create them to sting us or to bother us or to be a nuisance. We can learn from them. They're smart. And so we should maybe embrace our inner sheep because that's pretty smart stuff. They're good for things. I mean, they provide something that gives us warmth, wool. After the shearing, they look kind of ugly, but they're willing to suffer to provide the warmth. They were used for sacrifices. They're a willing sacrifice. Jesus was a willing sacrifice. So we're going to look at some things that Jesus did for us in ways that maybe we didn't think of it, I guess. We're going to look at words. Where I started this whole thing was words of power, or power of words. When I was way back, before I got married, but we were dating and almost engaged, I was given a book to read that was about a man's perception of how words work in the Lord and how we have to be careful what we say, because there is power in the words that we say. They have an impact. And so I didn't like everything he said. I think he was a little bit off on some stuff, but it stuck with me that this little paperback book impressed me that the words are not just hot air that come out of our mouth or that rest in our minds. They have an impact.
Right.
You know, words hold power. So what is spoken has an effect, or what is thought has an effect. Words hold meaning. So what is spoken has value. They have built-in value. Words hold direction. What is spoken has a purpose. Whether we see it or not doesn't make any difference. The purpose is still going to be there. God's word goes out, has a purpose. It's going to accomplish its purpose. We may not see what the purpose is. We may think it's going to be one thing and it's really something else. We always think it's going to be a positive purpose. It doesn't say that. It says it will accomplish the purpose it has. When we speak, what is the purpose of what we're saying? Power of words. So, we have the ability to be called children of God because the word said so, Jesus. We have been given, John 1, 112. So I have a song just to make us think a little bit. I think I had a song. Maybe I have something else. Oh yeah, read my lips. Then I had a song. Who said that?
Read my lips.
George H.W. Bush. He said something. They questioned about it. Said, read my lips. I mean what I said. Then he got caught not doing what he said. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't do what he said. But, so I thought, read my lips. Do we pursue with integrity the things that we speak? God does. So I have this song.
That's connecting.
From Hillsong. Come on. Ah.
Just straight to sin, Jesus died for me.
child of God. You act like a child of God. You don't say you're a child of God. Power of words. God declares a lot of interesting things that should have more impact on us. So why does the word of God doesn't not necessarily have an impact? If it has power, where did it go? Now, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and in Matthew, the devil says, you can make bread out of these stones. Why don't you do that? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why do we not live? How come we get stuck being a rock? Right. So the power of words. They should have an impact that doesn't leave us a rock. We should become bread. We should become manna for the world, in a sense. So let's see what happens. Proverbs has an interesting word. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What happens to us? Are we keeping our heart? Are we keeping it? What does it mean to keep your heart? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep it means preserve it. Don't let it get rotten. That's what keep means. So how many of us have rotten hearts? Or occasionally, they get a little stinky. Maybe you're not rotten all the way, but we have ups and downs at the stock market. Most of us have a little up and down, up and down, up and down. But sometimes you go, and we pass smelly and we get down to stinky. And we have to climb back up and say, okay, God, I messed up. So we preserve. With all diligence, we have to be confined in good things. Diligence really means confinement, under control. With all diligence is that you are under control. Not necessarily that God's controlling you and manipulating like a puppet, but that you are responsible.
There you go.
To confine and put some limits on who you are and what you say. You just can't say anything you want because words have power. There's a power out there. So when you say something foolish and somebody's listening to you and then you come back and try and be a Christian for them, what will they listen to?
Right.
You said then or what you said now. When you're under pressure, do you lose it and then say, you need Jesus? But we didn't use Jesus. We didn't take advantage of that. It says, issues. It's an interesting word, issues. For either the issues of life. The issues are those things that we can exit to. Good exits, bad exits. There's a connection to where you go. The issues are where you're going. Interesting meaning. And what is a heart? It is, in the Jewish thing, it could mean the pump. I have a good heart. But do I have a good heart? Because the heart also symbolically is everything that you are. Your intellect, your feelings, your emotions, everything. It stands for, because that's where life is. If the life is in the blood and it goes through the pump. The pump symbolically controls life. Everything about life is there. They knew something about the human body that we don't know. God knew something. We should expect him to know. But this thing controls our physical life, but it symbolically, it controls our life. So are we feeling the right way? You can feel the wrong way. You ever think about that? Feelings are not wrong, is it? They could be. if you have the wrong response to a situation, your feelings may be telling you a lie.
Taking the wrong place, yeah.
I mean, I taught for 39 years, teenagers. Their emotions run crazy. I say, good morning. They say, good morning. And in 2 minutes or less, they can be somewhere else. And they think that you have to treat them based on how they feel. Are you kidding me? Sit down and shut up. Which is what I did. I didn't always deal with them the way they felt. Sometimes I did because I understood something about how they felt and what happened to them. But most of the time, like 99% of the time, they are just out there because they have no self-control.
Barbarians.
Hmm?
They're barbarians.
There are those times that they are barbarians. But if we don't help them learn how to be controlled, because we're not controlled, so it's like being a Christian. If I'm going to mentor a Christian, I have to have something for him to go to. If I'm no better than them, how can I mentor? Mm. If my adulting is no better than their teenaging, I can't adult them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because we have power, good or bad, in there. We have to, you know, power of words. Our life is a set of words. Because when it gets described, you got, there's words that are going to be used for you. So, we have that thought. Jewish people had, you know, the Hebrew people had interesting language. You know, we like to translate stuff. And, like, we read our Bible, and it's a translation, but our language does not equate to Hebrew. Our language does not equate to Greek. Sometimes what they say doesn't even exist in our language.
Right.
They have a word that we have a paragraph to describe what that means because we don't have a word for it. So it's difficult to just translate things. You can't just sometimes go word for word. You go word for word until you get an idea, and that doesn't translate. So then you, like, well, there are expressions we use in our language. You know, the apple of your eye. That comes from the Old Testament. But the Old Testament word thing is not apple of your eye. It's the pupil of your eye. Where do we get an apple of the eye? It has to do with the center. To give the apple somebody that is to, you are at the core of that person's vision. Apple. Cool. The pupil is the core of your eye. You see? Ideas sometimes don't translate easily. But those words have power when you start understanding what they are. I like using King James Bible to teach because nobody understands King James Bible. And I can have a blast explaining the King James Bible. I used to have one kid that say, he was Jeff. He said, how can you get so much out of one verse? I said, because there are words there.
Those squiggly things, they make words.
He says, you're the only person I know that can speak forever on one verse. I said, yeah, that's why it took us 6 months to go through the book of Philippians. I had teenagers that sat for 6 months and they would come every week because I did something interesting with Philippians. I had to learn it the hard way, though. I had to learn it the hard way. I tried teaching the Bible the way I was taught in seminary, and I was killing my kids. I was killing them because I was doing what I was being taught. But I wasn't taught how to be me and how God was going to use me. I sat on the corner of our bed one night and I said, I give up. And suddenly, what do you say? You became a teacher. Because when I gave up, my teaching changed. And suddenly I got people that smiled and said, how can you find all that stuff? Because I approached it from a different point of view. Instead of my professor's point of view, I tried to use the Lord's point of view. Because His words have power. Jesus is the Word. He has power. So sometimes I got to remind myself, I am speaking Jesus. So I better be speaking Him well. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. My strength and my Redeemer. The words of my mouth. Oh, touch on page. And my first note is the Word. Jesus in and out of me is the Word. The Word out, the Word in. Because if I'm thinking, it should be His Word. If I'm speaking, it should be His Word. It's Him.
That's a good thought right there.
So the words, I think the last time I was teaching, I did something about Holy Spiriting.
Yes.
Okay, well, now we're wording.
Jesus wording.
I'm going to invent the word. And meditating. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. There's the heart again. But meditations. That word, meditations, it has a couple of different references in the Hebrew. On the one hand, it's meditations of the heart because you're musing. That means you're thinking about stuff. And there is, which I found, it's reflected, but there's a musical element to meditation. Nobody has ever heard that one that I know of. The most common thing I was ever taught about meditating was that it also refers to a cow chewing the cud. You know, it has multiple stomachs and they can regurgitate and re-chew, and then it saves it for later and chews, meditating.
Ruminating.
Yes.
Hence, ruminant animal.
But it has a different side. In the spirit, I mean, that was physical. You have to make yourself consciously reflect
right.
on what you know.
Yeah.
But there's an element of, I think of it, it came last night. It came that musical, what if meditating is actually worshiping in your head? You should be worshiping. Your meditation can be worship. It doesn't just have to be reflective. You're remembering something and you glorify God because
that's
of what
good.
You remember.
I like that. That's good.
Or sometimes, a lot of times for me, it comes out reflective. What does that mean? And I start taking it apart and I meditate and I take it apart. And then I put it back together again. And sometimes when I put it back together again, I make mistakes. Ever made a mistake in a puzzle? And you got all the pieces there, but some of them are in the wrong places. They just haven't been cut the same way. So they fit in alternate places.
I think it fits, but it really doesn't.
It fits, yet the picture is wrong.
Yeah.
Our definitions are wrong.
We
mess up. We don't get the right meaning. And sometimes I do that. So I have to reflect, but I also have to sing. Sometimes I have to cry. There are times I'm watching a movie and there's something funny happening and I have tears in my eyes. I'm not laughing because I see something else. I'm seeing things that I don't think anybody else is seeing because I believe I need to see it. It's part of what I need to be seeing. And you don't need to see necessarily what I see. Sometimes you get to see it because I talk about it. But words have power. And did you ever notice that the Old Testament is written totally different than the New Testament? It's not just a different language, but the thought processes of Middle Easterners are totally different from Europeans. The languages are different, not just in how they sound, but if you ever look at Hebrew and you ever look at Greek, they have no similarity at all. Hebrew is Asian. It has more of a connection in appearance to Chinese or Japanese or something because it's got little figures. And they don't just mean words sometimes, they mean more. But then the New Testament has a whole new set of things saying, being said. And I think that's why it's the verses I have, you know, they're all written to Greeks, Philippians, Corinthians, Thessalonians. They're Greeks. Greeks don't think like other people. And then, like Philippians, you have Romans who are living in a Greek place. So they're thinking like Romans, but they also have to think like Greeks. And Paul's got to write to them in a way that they understand. And the background of the Philippians is, oops, that was silly.
Not very.
Well, that's okay. I can do this. Hopefully, it'll come out right. I touched my screen too much. Oh, it saved it. That's good. But it's, we're, like, the words in my mouth, the meditation of my heart, that's a poem. And all the Psalms is poetry. It's all poetry. Proverbs, all poetry. I like poetry. I discovered I like poetry when it's in the Bible. When it's out of the Bible, I don't necessarily like it so much. But I decided I'm going to read some poetry out to see what I missed. Maybe I'll like it. I don't know. But I like this. And so, but you don't get the variety of stuff. And the New Testament doesn't necessarily refer to old knowledge. It's all brand new. Old Testament, they're referring to things that the people know. And David's giving a new context in Proverbs, or in Psalms. And in Proverbs, Solomon's giving a new context for stuff, putting it in a new way. But it's still the old knowledge. But it's getting redecorated and advanced and enlarged. But New Testament, brand new stuff. New languages. People that have no connection to the old. So there's no, there are very few references to the Old Testament in things going to the Greeks. So let's go and see why there's some details. Philippians. These are retired Roman soldiers, colonists. They've retired and been given permission to colonize this place because it's part of the empire. And so they get privileges. Philippi was a Greek city, but it was also a Roman colony. So you got these retired army guys. How much kindness are you going to get out of army guys that are killers? These are paid killers. That reminds me of another movie. I like movies. There's I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's Tom Cruise. And he's an army policeman that's now civilian, and he's...
Jeffrey Church.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't remember which one of those movies it's... But in it, he's acting... Oh, I'm not going to go there. It'll take me out to some other place. But and I don't want to go into that big of a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
I like it. And he makes, but he points out that, you know, we don't think like other people. But we are not necessarily thinking incorrectly. And these guys are interesting people because of all the churches that Paul wrote to, they are one of the most generous churches. And they may be one of the poorest because they're retired army guys. They don't get a good retirement. They are tax-free. They don't have to, they don't pay taxes for the land they have, the colony, and what they're doing. So that helps them get along better. But that's one of the privileges. So, but to the Philippians, he's got to tell them, this is how you have to think. And I think that's because they're army guys. They get told what to do. They're used to being told what to do. We are not used to it, but we're not in the military. A military-minded person like Nathan might be more willing to at least listen to being told what to do. Not that he would do it. But he would be more used to this than somebody like me that's I didn't have people telling me how to live. Stand up, sit down, eat. Be quiet. Although they would say it in a different way.
Yeah, all of that had way more cussing in it.
Yes, yeah. There's a different context for that. But he approaches it not as military, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about this. He's telling them to think. There's an implication there. They aren't thinking all the time about the right stuff. As nice as these people are, how much they love Paul, they weren't always thinking the right way because they haven't been taught to think the right way. A Jewish person, they start off with the Ten Commandments, understanding that stuff. That's where they start. And then they add the other stuff. But they all know that there's one God and that you don't have any idols and you have to honor your mother. You know, there's all these things that you're, 10 things. So there's a common bond pile of knowledge that they have. The Romans don't have commonality with anybody, especially if they're soldiers. They've learned to think a certain way, and now they're learning to think another way. Finally, but whatever is true, honorable, just, whatever, they could think anything they wanted because they had a job to do, and whatever it took to get the job done, that's what they did. They could stab you. They could arrest you. They could torture you. They could ask you politely, not likely, but they could ask you politely. But now they have to be, this is what you got to think about. Retrain your brain. What's true? What's honorable? So, and these are all kind of like, you know, a standard. What is true? Well, it's got to be measured up to truth. What is truth? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. So whatever is true measures up to his standard. So what you know about Jesus, that's what you got to do. If he said it, that's what you think about. If he didn't, that's what you think about. That's the standard. Whatever is honorable. Well, that kind of still ends up with Jesus because you got to think, what is worthy of respect? Well, for a soldier, that's somebody who has authority over you. And you respect that person because of the position they've got, not because of the quality of their life. Although with Jesus, you have quality and a position. So you have to learn about respect. What is that? It's you got to hold them up to the right level and you relate to them in a certain way. It says, just is kind of self-explanatory. Just is just. According to law. This is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to think. Don't play around with your ideas and try and twist it like we do these days. Pure, separated from what is impure. Soldiers kind of know about that a little bit. You got to be separated. What are you going to be separated from? Well, if you're in military, you don't get involved in civilian stuff. You have a life that's defined by these same parameters. You wear a uniform. You talk this way, you walk this way, you do these things. And if the people are kind of crazy, you don't become crazy, you just do what's from this position, you do what you're supposed to do the right way according to your rules. Lovely. Lovely. I didn't write enough of this stuff. Oh well. But anyway, I'm not going to go through every word. It's better not to do that. But these words have a meaning, and you have to retrain your brain. In Romans, it says, renew your mind. 12:1. Renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Renew your mind. He's still talking to Romans, but these are Roman civilians. They have a common culture. So we have to renew our minds. There's a responsibility. God will not just automatically renew it, although he does some renewing, but there's a cooperation. You got to think. God does not think for you. But he'll give you thoughts. He'll give you words. And you put them in here. It's like reprogramming a computer. I took a class on programming computers once, just because I wanted to know a little bit about what it was like. And I had to learn a language. And then I had to learn how to use that language. It had syntax, and it had grammar, and it had all sorts of stuff. And one of my first assignments was write a formula, because that's really what you're doing, and tell me what Easter is going to be for the next 10 years. And that's what I had to do. I had to write a formula in that language to print out a calendar of Easters. The first time I did it, it did not work very well. I had a problem, but I learned and I did. And I didn't like what I was doing. I thought, this part of computer stuff is not for me. But it told me something about language and how it could be manipulated in unusual ways and how other languages work. And there's other ways to communicate. So we have to reprogram. Use the right language. Well, we have a language. This is written in a language, God's language. And he tells you things to reprogram your brain. He also allows you to talk to him. Make sure you get the right answers and get the right stuff. So we have a lot of work to do. And I realize sometimes I have not done enough work with my words. I have not put enough thinking into my brain that's not mine. I still have too much of my thinking there. Corinthians. This is one of the most immoral places in the world at the time. Corinth. Oh, yeah. It was also a very interesting business place. The only place more immoral than this was Ephesus. I don't have anything for Ephesians, though. But there's a lot, that was just the nature of their culture. It was the nature of their religious beliefs. Their gods tended to let them do unusual things, which that's why there's a lot of talking about immorality. And yeah. So I'm going to just one thing. So weapons of warfare, brain. You got to fill the brain with the stuff that helps you control the words. So I'm going to leave that. I can do this quickly. So there are a lot of interesting thoughts that we have, but I'm not going to worry about that one as much as this one. Rejoice evermore. Right? These are just simple directions, things to do. Things to think for one group, Thessalonians need things to do. Rejoice, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's a hard one. We always get confused. Do we have to be thankful for everything? That's not what it says. In what you find yourself, find a way to be thankful. So, because that's God's will. That's a hard one. This is a command. Quench not the spirit. Don't get in the way. I'll keep it simple. Don't get in the way. Just when you get in the way, the spirit. I mean, even Jesus had to deal with that, because when he went home, he couldn't do very many miracles there because the people didn't believe. They were quenching. They were getting in the way. And getting in the way does not allow God to work the way he wants to work. He doesn't twist your arm to get things done. He wants you to partner with him.
Yeah.
And don't despise prophesying. We sometimes would say, well, I know more than you. I read something different yesterday. I heard another person say this. Well, Test the spirit, Seth. Find out what's going on. Don't just despise it because you don't like it or you don't think. Prove all things. Okay? Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to what is good. Okay. That may be. Oh. And don't look bad. Don't look bad. Which includes don't look stupid. Don't look mouthy. Don't look ugly. Don't make ugly faces. Don't have attitudes. Abstain from is not included in all. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Now there is a hard one. I mean, sometimes it's not even what we're saying. Sometimes we wear something and it sends the wrong message. Mm. We have a lot of shirts that say things. We have shirts that don't say things, but they do because of the style. Style says something. Do you want your message to be the style message? It gets tricky sometimes. We live in a culture that says you can do, especially if you're in America, you know, we are free to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but we're Christians. We are free to do what is good for God. What makes Jesus look good? It's not for us to look good. It's for him to look good. So there's a song that I have. It's called Three Wooden Crosses. It's a country song. Oh. And Randy Travis. And it's from 2003. He won the best song of that type from the Country Music Association, CMA Awards. And the next year, he got the best song of the year from the Dove Awards. Same song. And it's an interesting story. It's a story song, which is why I like it. I grew up with my dad who liked country music because he also liked flamenco from Spain. But what he likes about the flamenco is that story songs and the dances and all the stuff are telling stories. And when he heard country music, he said, it's story music, it's like flamenco. And he just dove in, and we used to watch the Grand Ole Opry on TV. I grew up with country music. So I made her go to the Grand Ole Opry, and she was not exactly pleased at the time. She has changed her tune a little bit. But this is a song that it tells you something about why words have power. Three wooden crosses, and that'll be the end. I hope. Ah.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? His blood Mustang Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher. He gave this Bible to my mom, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side.
Power of words. It's not what we take up, it's what we leave behind. It changes things. It has an effect. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you made me a wrestler. Made me think about the words I say. But we have a lot of life to give through the words that we've seen that you speak. Help us to not be a hindrance, but to be a gateway for life. Amen.
Word.